The greatest light has come. And before we watched that video, we sang Light of the World, You Step Down into Darkness. The light of the world, of course, is reference to Jesus. But when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, what did he really mean? What did he mean that that should say to you and me? And 2,000 years later, what should that mean in our lives today, this Christmas time? We're going to ask some of those questions. Before we get to it, let me just think for a moment about the physical light, the light that we see around us all the time. Because it seems to me like as though light is becoming a bigger and bigger part of an expression of Christmas in most homes. I grew up in the 1960s and we used to play a little game, my sister and I, while we were sitting in the back of the car of my mum and dad's vehicle, driving back from grandparents' parties and family celebrations at Christmas time, and we would count the Christmas trees in all the different houses. How many could we see? My sister would always sit on the left. I would sit on the right. She was deaf in her left ear, so her good ear was to the rest of the people in the car. And as we'd go down, it'd be one there, there's another one there. And we'd see who could count the most. And the reason we could see the Christmas trees at night is because they were covered with lights. And it was almost exclusively the Christmas trees that were covered in light, because we're talking about an age where you will remember strings of lights involved huge big bulbs that you had to screw in. And when you got your Christmas lights out every Christmas time, you probably find they weren't working, which bulb has gone, or bulbs, and you'd have to take individual bulbs out and screw a new one in until you found it. Remember that? But that was almost exclusively the lights that we saw in our homes at that time. What a contrast with today, when we see entire houses adorned, dripping with lights, stars on the walls, like icicles hanging from the roof. On the roof, maybe an illuminated blow-up Santa or Father Christmas clinging to the chimney of the house. The garden full of a menagerie of animals, reindeer, and who knows what else. All thanks to LED. And we love that stuff. Our neighbours don't necessarily love it, but we love the brightness of it. Perhaps it brings a little bit of brightness into the long, dark winter nights. It's also an opportunity to have a little bit of personal expression in our decorations, isn't it? And it sort of says something about us signing up to being part of the season the community is celebrating. But here's the thing about those lights. When Christmas is gone, and usually around the 6th of January at the latest, so too have the lights. Is the same sort of thing true of Jesus, the light of the world, who came into this world? Just like perhaps the days or the seasons in which we have physical lights in our building, is it the case that Jesus brought his life when he came? And of course, we know that he did, the impact. The spectacle of the incredible, amazing nativity scene, that first scene of Jesus' birth, and the child who grew up and then performed miracles, healed people, taught things that human beings had never heard before. His light was certainly shining. But of course, Jesus was crucified. He died, he was buried, rose on the third day, and then ascended into heaven. Was that the end of the light coming into the world. What is it, a moment in history that is now gone? Or should we be thinking about its relevance today? The next line of that song that we sang, "Light of the world, you step down into heaven," is "opened my eyes, let me see." Was it just the people who saw Jesus physically in the land of that day who saw the light? Or does the impact of Jesus coming, the light of the world, is that an ongoing light for us? I want to talk about a single verse of scripture in John's Gospel. And in chapter 8, he talks about Jesus introduces himself and says, "I am the light of the world." In fact, it was the second of seven I am declarations, speaking of who he is. I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd, and so on. I am the light of the world. I am. He alone is the light. He is all those things. He was pointing in the process to his unique divine identity and purpose. There's no one else in this world, however wise they think they are, whatever religious leader, including Christian faith leader they might be, nobody speaks as being God also. He was claiming to be the exclusive spiritual source of light, of wisdom, of truth from God. And of course, he was echoing God declaring who he was to Moses in the burning bush, where he said, "I am who I am, unchanging." But that wasn't the only thing that he said. Let me put the verse on the screen for you so you can see it. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So whoever follows, whoever acknowledges, whoever walks in the footsteps, whoever believes, he's saying will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He's echoing actually the words that we read at the beginning of John's Gospel. To all who believe, he gave the right to become children of God. He was saying that something will change when you accept me, when you believe in me from that moment on, for all who believe. That's the crucial bit. So, to everybody who believed, yes, the people who saw Jesus in his day, the people who saw him or heard of him after his death, right up to today, as we're about to approach 2026, to all who follow in his footsteps, to all, right to this moment in time, he is the light who stepped down into the darkness. And I want to mention that darkness. This is just a by the way, but it's important that we grasp why his light is so important. Do you realize that these days that we are in, the Bible says, are days of darkness still? Actually, the Bible elsewhere speaks of them as being the night. The day has not yet come. The Apostle Paul wrote this: "For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." So, what Paul is saying, writing after Jesus has gone to the church, which applies to the church today, is these are days of darkness. We face challenges, hurts, brokenness, again and again. And in our day, the call is to put on the armor of light. Jesus not being just for that season, but light for us today. So if you remember our very first reading from Isaiah chapter 9, we said these words: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Who's he speaking of? What is this time of deep darkness and the people? Well, so often, as is the case with Isaiah, he's not speaking of his time. Isaiah was speaking at writings centuries before Jesus was born. He's writing prophetically of two eras, a time to come when Jesus would come as a child born in the manger, the story we know at Nativity, but also his second coming, which the Bible describes as being the end of the night. At some point, I'm going to talk about the meaning of another title of Jesus being called the Bright Morning Star, and that's significant for his coming. But we'll do that some other time. So we are in today the same period of darkness. And it's really important that we grasp that as a reality for ourselves. And then that Jesus coming as light into that darkness, the two have to be put together so that we don't fall in the danger of thinking that all these titles, these words, speak of just someone coming centuries ago. It doesn't matter to us now. It does. Back to John and chapter 8. Let me just put the verse back on the screen for you. It said, it followed on, "Therefore, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So something will happen. There are two promises, in fact, that come for those who are people who believe in Jesus as light of the world, who understand, accept, and embrace this reality. Two promises. The first is that he will never leave us. It will never depart. The darkness will never go, which means that in all the things that we face, whatever it might be, we will always enjoy an opportunity to find God's wisdom, his truth, his pathway, his guidance, his leading, however black the circumstances, whatever challenges we face. That's his promise. But you've got to put that armor on, the armor of light. You need to do that. Otherwise, we don't take advantage of what he's offering. But the second thing comes as a promise, as a consequence. We will reflect his light to other people. It'll have an impact on them too. So God's light shining in us will have a positive implication for other people. It's what Jesus said to his disciples as he sat them down at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. And he said, he's passing the mantle, "You are the light of the world." Whoa. So not just him coming, he passes that light through us. You are the light of the world. And then illustrates the purpose of that. A city sat on a hill cannot be hidden. Of course, it's visible. Nor do people light a lamp and then put it under a basket, but on a stand so that it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I'm deliberately trying not to do the big dog collar at the front of the church, entertaining the troops on a carol service. Been there. I'm trying to share with you that it is so easy to sing are carols with familiar words and think that those words, titles, and situations apply just to something 2,000 years ago, a quaint moment in history. They're more than just words, they're a reality for us. Let's not miss the implications of his light shining into the ordinary lives of hurting people, facing the darkness of situations of our world to us right now. And in fact, I believe God wants to challenge us and has been doing so throughout Advent. You might remember the two things that we've talked about, the two groups of five women that we've looked at so far in Advent, the five daughters of Zelophehad. Yes, orphaned, lost everything. In their day, meaningless, irrelevant people, have no strength, no power, but a picture of what God would do with them that was necessary to enable Jesus to take on the throne of David. That's what God does. He uses the weak, the vulnerable, here, there, and he brings his purposes to bear. Our weakness, his extraordinary, limitless power. And then, last week, the five women that appear specifically mentioned, totally against the character of genealogies of the day, but in genealogy of Jesus. But five women, all of whom represent disgrace, hurt, the agony of some sordid situations, but representing the very brokenness that Jesus stepped into this world to do something about. And do something about to give us guidance as we step into that light. So I want to close this part of the talk of the carol service by sharing a new Advent hymn that speaks into that. We began our service with an Advent hymn that's as old as it comes, been sung for 1500 years. This one was written in COVID year. That was a tough year, wasn't it? 2020. But it speaks about the one who came as light into the world. And it speaks of the very people that Jesus came to impact, people like you and me, burned out by the difficult, dark circumstances we face. I'm going to encourage you, don't try to sing this. Trust me, you won't be able to. Bit too difficult. But instead, listen to the words, maybe prayerfully see them as an invitation to step into the light that Jesus wants to shine in our situations. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the reminder today of what you did for this world and you are doing for us. Father God, into those dark places of brokenness of our lives, of the people that we seek to support, of the communities that ache, help us to bring your light. Help us to put on the armor of light. This Christmas, you're not just a quaint story from history. You are a life-changing reality for each of us. Help us, Lord, to walk in that reality, we pray. As we celebrate this Christmas, the coming of Jesus who brings hope and eternity, but he brings it today. Thank you, Father God. Amen.
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 Amen. Let's sing a final carol. Let's rejoice in the process.